large cloud.
Helical semiconductor of the coax cable
and the helix is wound around a ferrite rod. So that is a kind of coaxial cable delay line, which is a really slow wave structure. So by way of the local capacitance and inductance, you can make the signal propagate more slowly. The pitch of that helix, as well as the LC ratios. Now, I know in one of the articles that Wes had us look at, there was two slow wave helical structures operating in the same main primary coil. Let me drop. The same primary coil of a Tesla coil. And therefore, they were producing their very high voltage output out of phase with each other. And periodically, that phase would give you such a high voltage difference between the output of those two slow wave helixes of this Tesla coil, this compound Tesla coil, that that great big high voltage between the two supposedly would create a fireball. And I have only partial understanding of what a fireball is. I mean, people who have experienced certain lightning events inside of a house, for instance, have occasionally seen what they call a fireball, this brightly lit, high voltage thing that sometimes can go through a window and move around the house and last for some number of seconds before it suddenly disappears, explodes, or whatever. What really is a fireball, I'm not sure. So, and there are more kinds of slow wave structures. Various kinds of cascading of electronic circuits can give you a slow wave structure. So I think the main one that Wes is interested in is compound Tesla coil. Now, I'm going to listen on the input and see if I can hear Wes on the 2585 frequency in order for him to tell us where he would like us to go next. N2XJN, KQLIW on the TechNet. On the input, I heard you say, can I hear you now? And yes, I am hearing you now, so go right ahead. Yeah, could I speculate on that? I've only got partial understanding of this one, Wes. The problem is that, see if I get the right frequency. Yes, I do. The article talked about separating the E field from the H field. To do that within a transmission line, yes, you can do things like that. Transmission line itself, in the case of waveguide, coax cable, and other kinds of transmission lines, they kind of all kinds of multiplication of the field versus the H field. You can make one bigger than the other, unbalance them, and so on. In free space, you cannot do that. Free space, if a signal is really going to be propagated through free space, there is an exact ratio of a freely propagated signal outside of the transmission line, in free space, in the far field, a real transverse electromagnetic transmission. There is an exact ratio between the H field and the H field, and they're related by the so-called 377 ohm apparent impedance of free space. So there's an exact relationship between those two. In free space, you cannot do that. But in a coaxial cable, or any kind of a transmission line, yes, I think you could make the ratio different, and I believe it's one of the mechanisms by which you can make the signal propagate more slowly through that transmission line. Now, in the case of the dual Tesla coil, the two different helixes operating from the same primary, I can see the advantage there is that they're operating at two different secondary resonant frequencies. Therefore, you can make the voltage between the two very large numbers, like twice the number of volts you could get on any one of them. I can see the advantage of doing that if you're trying to light up something like a fireball between the two. Maybe it's a method of launching a fireball. But I'm wondering what's the next thing that you want to do with that, Wes. N2XJN, I'll listen on the input, K2LIW. Yes, I have seen transformers with that very wide coil. Are you sure this is coming through? Yes, it is. In many cases, that's to shield the 60-cycle magnetic field. It doesn't do a great job. It does give you some shielding of the magnetic field. If that coil was made out of new metal, a very fancy metal that's got a very high permeability, you get a lot more shielding. But I think that Y coil is only done for 60 cycle shielding. A transformer tends to put out a very strong local magnetic field. And if that transformer, which is part of the power supply, is inside of the cabinet of, say, something like a spectrum analyzer, and the local oscillators are in a sawtooth manner in order to sweep from frequency 1 low to frequency 2 high, and as the sweeps cyclically across those frequencies, the response is displayed on the oscilloscope function of the spectrum analyzer. Well, if 60... get out of a rubber junk antenna, if you know what I mean. So unless that cone is 20 feet in diameter, it's not going to launch much of a signal on 2 meters that you would care about, Wes. Go ahead. To make a good antenna as a dipole, it's got to be something in the vicinity of a half wavelength long between the tips of the wire, unless you're using various techniques to shrink it down in size. When it's a horn-like antenna, the number of wavelengths of the outer mouth of the horn determines the beam width. Well, 2 meters is, 36 inches is a wavelength. If the outer mouth of the horn was 36 inches wide, 3 feet in diameter, then the horn would be able to launch some kind of a signal on 2 meters. But it wouldn't have much, it would have about, let me think now. It doesn't matter. It's still going to obey the laws of reciprocity. So whether you're transmitting or receiving, it's still going to be essentially a rubber duck antenna, if you know what I mean. So if you want that horn... It's good, Wes. From 200 megs down to 144 is not that far. To operate over that many octaves, they've already pushed the laws of physics pretty far. That's going to be waveguide beyond cutoff down to 2 meters. Unless you put a rubber duck mounted at the mouth of that throat of that antenna, you're not going to launch much of a signal on 2 meters. In which case, what are you really doing? You probably have fallen in love with this horn antenna because it's got such wide bandwidth, and in theory, it's got a very nice, clean pattern to it. No matter what you do to make it launch a signal on 2 meters, whether you're transmitting or receiving, doesn't matter, reciprocity, the pattern you're going to get out of that is going to be essentially no different than the pattern you get out of a rubber duck. So why use the horn instead of a rubber duck on 2 meters? Go ahead. The only way you get directivity on any band is to have some number of wavelengths of the emitting aperture on that frequency. The rough rule of thumb, Wes, is that no matter what your antenna is, if I want to know the horizontal beam width, for instance, count the number of wavelengths of width of the radiating surface. If the radiating surface was 10 wavelengths wide, divide the 10 into the magic number 70 degrees, and it would have a 7-degree beam width. So the number of wavelengths of horizontal dimension of the antenna divided into 70 degrees gives you an approximation of the number of degrees of beam width, the directivity of the antenna. This horn looks to me like it's less than 36 inches of width at the mouth. So even if you could make the mouth emit by some means, it's less than one wavelength, it's going to be more than 70 degrees wide, and not going to be much of a direction-finding antenna. Over to you, Wes, K2LIW. My guess is, first of all, do you know the approximate diameter of the outer mouth of that antenna? What's the diameter of that thing? If I judge it compared to what I think is a type N connector, it looks like it's about 36 inches in diameter. Is that true? Yeah, it works. Those are very loose words. In other words, it can emit some kind of a signal and receive some kind of a signal at 200 megacycles. For all we know, as an antenna, it's got minus 10 dB over isotropic of gain, and it might have 140 degrees of beam width down there at 200 megacycles. So by one means or another, by scaling something in that photograph, you'll eventually figure out roughly how many inches is the diameter of the mouth of that horn, the biggest dimension there. Figure that out in your wavelength at 2 meters, divide that number of wavelengths into 70 degrees, and it will give you a rough approximation as what the directivity is, how many degrees of half power width. and my guess is you're going to end up with something like 90 degrees of half power beam width, and that as a direction finding antenna is not as good as a pair of rubber ducks side by side as an interferometer. N2XJN, K2LIW.
This is your good premise.
There's a yes and a no to that. No matter how big you make them out, yes, you'll get more and more directivity. However, as you go down into that throat of that horn, waveguide beyond cutoff is your problem. The throat of the horn, the proportion where you launch the 2 meter signal, must have a width of 1/2 wavelength. It's a piece of waveguide. The horn is a round piece of waveguide. If the waveguide doesn't have 1/2 wavelength of width, the signal will not go down that piece of waveguide. So even if you use the rubber duck to launch the signal, the rubber duck cannot be deep down into the horn. It'll be beyond cutoff, and no signal will come out. You're going to end up putting the rubber ducks very close to the opening mouth of that horn. And are you going to get enough directivity out of that? I think for direction finding, you might be better off, as I said before, with a pair of rubber ducks side by side used as an interferometer. And 2XJN, K2LIW, the TechNet.
KC2QIQ, the TechNet.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, actually, Dick, I've used a 10 gigahertz horn with a little, almost looks like a little gun grip handle underneath the bottom. Into an HT, and you're right that it doesn't give you like something really narrow for a, you know, like a direct pointing for directional finding. But what I found on 2 meters is that it does narrow the beam width down to something like you said, 90 degrees. So if you're holding the horn in front of you in the near field and you're walking towards a hidden transmitter and you know you're relatively nearby, it does basically point you in the direction. So in other words, it points you into like one of four quadrants, if you know what I'm saying. And it really attenuates the signal quite a bit too, being that it's so out of the tier band. So you're getting a little bit of attenuation, and it does give you, like you said, about 90 degrees of a narrow window. So it does allow you to walk towards the, walk into a near field target, if you know what I'm saying. For identification, too, do I do?
I'm having some trouble with that one. Glenn, standard gain horn that's used between 1,000 and 1,500 megacycles has a mouth to it that's 4 feet wide, maybe 3.5 feet wide, and maybe 2.5 to 3 feet high. So I'll admit that's a 15 dB gain horn. 15 dB of gain has got something like 25 degrees of beam width. If I was building a horn-like structure at 144 megacycles.
You are currently connected to reflector 9126.
As I see it, you're a hell of a lot better off a Yagi-like structure. If you want to get real directivity on 2 meters, compared to the amount of metal you're using, the amount of antenna performance you're going to get, you cannot top a Yagi. Nothing comes close. So if I was direction finding on 2 meters, I would use a Yagi. Do you think you know of a better antenna to direction find on 2 meters? KC2QIQ, K2LIW in the group.
I do all token at all.
Generally, my thank you for visiting the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link clear.
I do all token at all.
Thank you. at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater. Set tonight at 8:30. This is the W2L amateur radio repeater.
I do auto connect enabled. Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system. Node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
Set tonight at 8:30. W2L repeater system. 830 W2VL repeater system.
Survived that storm last night.
KC2KKX. Well, watched it through the window. Pretty impressive. Anyway, where we were, fortunately not a lot of wind, but a lot of rain and a lot of thunder and lightning.
Okay, fine. Yeah, we had about 3 inches of water in our backyard temporarily until the ground absorbed it. And my older son wanted to go out to dinner right in the middle of it. We decided we'd wait, and we changed our plans to someplace just a few blocks away rather than a few miles away. And a lot of the underpasses for the railroads and stuff were all flooded and marked off. So it came, it hit hard, and it left.
Glad I wasn't out on a sailboat on the Sound when it came through, because I'm sure that was no fun.
Yeah, I live on the water in Connecticut, and right before the storm hit, I saw quite a few boaters rushing in, and, there's a speed limit in the harbor, but a situation like that, they all came in at full throttle. You really couldn't blame them.
Well, it must have been the sunspot activity on the Sun, because HF seemed to be knocked out most of yesterday.
I have a chance to get on the HF. I also took my 10-meter rig out of the car because it's got all sorts of intermittents. I want to bring it to work and fix it. Just waiting for the boss to go on vacation so I can bring my 3 intermittent rigs into the shop. Oh, well. We'll just be patient. Back to you.
And to you, ZD.
Good morning, Nav. Take a turn, give it to Ted.
Okay. Good morning, guys. It's like a nice day today, although I know the heat is supposed to get up there again. When is this heat going to go away? Ted, I think, pick it up.
Good morning, Nav. Glad to see there's another survivor after that storm yesterday, Yeah, I had a kind of a bad experience over the weekend. I got a little Vespa scooter I ride around on, and the last couple of days I've been smelling gas in the garage, a little unusual gas odor, and I went to start the scooter up, and gas comes flowing down right on top of the muffler. The gas line is split. So I replaced that, and it's still leaking gas. I'm not quite sure what to look for next, but I might bring it to the dealer and sign for tires. And the tires on a scooter are a big production because the rear wheel wraps around the engine. It's not not something you do yourself. Over to you, Peter.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know much about that, but I was wondering if there was a fuel pump in the scooter. Maybe the problem is there. Anyway, just coming down to Major Deegan now. Hopefully we'll have an uneventful trip. Anyway, Nath, it's been a while. Just so you know, WECA, the Westchester repeater, now has their D-Star machine on the gateway. So that happened, I think, this past weekend. Over to you.
W2TAB.
Ron recognized this morning. And, okay, we'll have to check that out. Have to see if I, see if it's listed on the website yet. On the D-Star website, that is. Also, if the software upgrade, firmware upgrade, whatever it is ready for my 31 radio. So it's in there. Or if I have to put it in manually. So, mine, pick it up and then pass it over to Ted.
Good morning, gentlemen. And good morning, Nath. Welcome back. Ted, can you report on your
UFM? Let me see if I have it. Ron, haven't talked to you in a while. How you doing? Yeah, as far as the fuel leak goes, Peter, yeah, the leak is between the tank and the fuel pump. And I try to figure out how the fuel pump works. There's no electrical wires on it, so it's not electric. There's no diaphragm that's pushed by something on the engine. There's a fuel line in, a fuel line out, and one more line, which might be a vacuum line. Maybe it's some sort of vacuum or air pressure driven thing. You know, these Italians have to do things differently. Go ahead.
Very good. Sounds like a Vespa. Anyway, Ron, I tried HF yesterday, but just there was a lot of solar activity. It was pretty dead. So when it gets back around to you, that's the reason you didn't get an email from me. And, Naf, I think the, WECA is not yet listed on the on that website, so I don't know if it will be in your memory chip there or not. Probably not would be my best guess, but could be wrong. Anyway, Naf, over to you.
I'm sure it's not. Because the upgrade is, I'm not sure if it's every 3 or every 6 months they're supposed to be upgrading the download. But I'm not sure if they're actually keeping to their schedule themselves. I'll have to go on one of these days and take a look. I've got a lot more pressing things to do right now. But I will get around to it one of these days. And, maybe if I put in Westchester D-Store, that'll bring me to the Westchester Club's info, or do I need to get the info from you?
W2TAP and Groom. Yeah, exactly there, Pete. A lot of solar activity. Crazy. And that's what I heard. So anyway, Ted, what's going on? Well, you got a leak? I just caught the tail end of that, so let me know on that, and also on the North Korea movements. Okay, Pete, over to you.
UFM, let me see if I have it. think it's my turn in rotation. I could be wrong. I haven't talked to you a while, Ron. I got a little Vespa scooter and developed a gas leak. Of course, the gas leak is dripping the gas right on top of the muffler, which isn't a good thing. And I thought it was the line between the tank and the fuel pump. I replaced that, but it's still leaking, so a little more work this coming weekend. Unfortunately, I didn't leave it in the garage for a gas leak, so I had to leave it outside in that storm last night with a cover on it. But, let's see, over to you, Pete.
Yeah, I guess this is the time of the year where you'd like that to be working. So, hopefully you'll figure it out. I guess there must be, maybe where you bought it, we'll be able to help you. I don't have a clue. Anyway, and now, if Wacko's had a D-Star repeater for over a year, so it could be there. It's just they just got the gateway going this weekend, so they're still fussing with it. So you might have it. And, Ron, did you get drenched last night when that storm came through? Anyway, Nath, over to you.
Yeah, I think they only have the repeaters that have D-Star capability. I think are the only ones that are in the memory, not all the repeaters. That's what I think. Anyhow, Ron, pick it up.
Yeah, what a lightning show, I tell you that. Took some pictures, and really cool stuff. So I got some pictures of that last night, and it was wailing. How about you guys? Turn over to you.
Yeah, we had quite a fireworks display and a lot of wind, a lot of rain. You had asked about the North Korean update. Obviously, you didn't hear about the St. Louis incident over the July 4th holiday. They had launched a Elantra from an abandoned Phillips 66 station just south of St. Louis in conjunction with the fireworks display, the target being the Boeing factory in Wichita Falls, Kansas. I'll give you the update on the next go-around. Go ahead, Peter.
Sounds like an interesting story. I didn't hear about that. And anyway, I'll say it again, Matt. Weka did have a D-Star repeater working, but not on the gateway. You don't need a gateway for a D-Star repeater to work, but obviously you can't link. But now you can. Hopefully that clarifies that. So it could be in your HD, if they know about it. Anyway, Ron. Well, now I guess it goes to math.
No, Peter, I know that it'll work, but the D-Star repeaters that come in the memory are only those with a gateway link. It doesn't have the ones that don't have a gateway link in the memory. That you have to manually enter. Pretty sure about that. I'll double check, but I'm 90% certain. I mean, there's only about 60, 70 repeaters or so in the memory. Just the ones that have maybe it's a little more than that, whatever. It's the gateway one. It doesn't have all the repeaters. It's only the gateway ones that listed, I think. I'll double check on that, but that's what I think it is. and the radio's not out. I don't think it's out of here yet. So if the repeater's a year old, if they do have ones that are not on the gateway, then it should be in there. Ron, pick it up.
W2CAB, yep. We'll find that out, gateway and non-gateway. Alright, very good. Took a ride up to Orange County Saturday, up in the glorious town of Montgomery and Newburgh. Up there, nice part of the, nice part of slightly upstate there. Came back Saturday night, Weather was nice up there. We had overcast there on the island, but anyhow. One thing about that, there is a steakhouse, and it's the only, there's only seven places in New York State that are grandfathered, which is, you could have a, you could smoke in a bar. Imagine that? But there's only seven, and that was one of them we stumbled across, so some interesting information on that. And you wouldn't even smell the smoke. You get great ventilation. Anyway, over to Ted, W2TAP in the group.
Channel 6, David Peter Zebra Mobile.
Quad 6, recognized. Get in a second. I'm almost at work, so I'll finish this Elantra story real quick. Yes, they launched this Elantra off of an old Phillips 66 station, and there just happened to be an Aegis destroyer operating in the upper Mississippi, locked on with a standard missile, brought it down, and everybody thought it was part of the 4th of July display. Over to W6.
Okay, very good. This is K6 Delta Papa Zulu, K6 DPZ Richmond Hill. I want to say good morning, fellas. I just got in on this conversation, so I can't add much to it. We're just on our way to grab some breakfast and grab a rag and see what the day has to offer. The other station in rotation, pick it up. This is Keep 6. Don't pick 0.
I guess that could be me. Anyway, good morning, Al. Sorry. And much sort of, much to our conversation, it's sort of dysfunctional in some ways. But I don't know if Ted was signing or not, or he'll be back. But Ron, maybe you'll explain what he just said. So I'm not sure he was just pulling our legs or an Aegis. Anyway, let me give it to Nath. KC2, KKX for ID.
Okay, Peter, I think I stand corrected. I just turned on the radio and took a quick look. I see there's a repeater listed for Norwalk. I assume that that's the repeater you're talking about. So I thought it was only the gateway repeater, but it looks like it's not. I saw some others that I don't think are on the gateway either. My error. You're correct. Then to user D5D and over to Ron.
I'll just say that you're correct, Matt. Of course, Norwalk is in Connecticut, not New York. And Norwalk does have a gateway. And if you didn't find anything in Westchester, then you're right. Anyway, over to Ron.
Very good. I think Ted was pulling our legs, so we'll see. Hey, good morning, Al. And I think Ted might be in one more round, but I think he was almost landing. So, Al, I'll send it over to you, and then let's see if he's back.
But Al or Hal?
I meant Al. Hotel Apple. Lemur. Go ahead, Al.
Okay, it's enough I jumped the peep. I don't want to jump my name either. Or another name. Very good. We're just going to pull in here one moment to grab a rag. We grab a post, read it this morning, in the morning, instead of bothering to read it on our laptop or our iPad, all this stuff, which we have, but we don't even bother using. Very good. The other, I still don't know who's getting the next rotation here. So I'm going to flip it up at the top, and whoever's supposed to get it, grab the ball. Just keep six dark purple zombies.
Let's see if I have
it. Terminating without in Montauk at one time. Okay, when you have time, I can see the bunker now, guys. This will be my final. Yeah, there are a couple websites you ported on the St. Louis Incident, but then Homeland Security pulled them down real quick. was interesting. The Elantra ejected all four tires in mid-flight to act as decoys, but the seeker in the nose of the standard missile locked onto the Elantra and took it right out. 7-3, guys. I'll catch you on the way home tonight. K1UFM Mobile.
I guess you could get a good deal on that one, Ron. Now I got it. Anyway, let me give it to Neff. 73 to Ted.
Yeah, there's nothing off of Westchester. Sorry, I was getting mixed up between Connecticut and Westchester. Sorry about that. the closest that I see over there is Norwalk, which is Connecticut, as you said. Then there's another Connecticut one. There's one in Newington. Nothing for Westchester. The closest I see to Westchester, I'm not sure if it's Norwalk or this one also in Tuxedo Park. Those would be the closest that I see, I guess, to Westchester. So, Ron, pick it up.
Roger that, man. A good shot there on Ted. You got it locked on, missile lock. And, took care of that. Very good, Ted. And, Norwalk's in Connecticut, that's right. the state of Connecticut. Westchester, a state of New York. Anyhow, let me turn on my real-time radar here and look at every single D-star that will be populating in about 45 seconds. Now, Hal, over to you, W2TAP.
I think he checked out and got a paper.
But I'm back.
Make a turn.
Okay, don't mind if I do. Yeah, we have to go through this ritual generally every day during the week, just to get out and plan what mischief we're going to get into by the time we get back. Looks like a halfway decent day, but I don't know what it's going to wind up being look like later. And that's what I was concerned about. I may sneak out east later, depending on the weather. Okay, I don't know who's left in here. I leave. I don't know who's left, and I got to figure who to pass it to. Again, I'm going to throw the basketball up in the air. Pick it up, K6 Dark Purple Zombies, or K6 Don't Pick Zero, or K6 Don't Pull Zippers. Whatever one you guys like, you can have.
Well, I'll take it again. And KC2 KKX, Peter. And so it's interesting, Nath. You said Tuxedo's listed. That's relatively new. I don't even think it's a year old. So, sounds like your HC is pretty close to being up to date. And, Ron, I always, travel scanning. Anyway, Naf, over to you.
U31 or whatever it is, the radio's only out, it's only been out, I think, about 9 or 10 months or something like that. So, it should be fairly up to date. My gap is, I don't know, what did I buy it, about 4 months ago, something like that. It should be up to date pretty much, Anyhow, I haven't looked on the DSO website recently, so I have to take a look and see what's going on. Yeah, this is N2 user Deepa ID, and over to Ron.
W2TAP in the group. See, weather forecast for Hal is going to be about 89 degrees. Some scattered broken clouds. Probably a good day to fly. So no storms in the area. And, Roger that there, Pete, on the always scanning. Gotta know where those D-stars are all the time. And heading south here, back to Monday traffic. So, Hal, over to you.
Okay, very good, DPZ. Go ahead and give me where the winds. I gotta know the winds. That'll give me a little more of an idea how bad it's gonna be getting off the ground.
Well, where I am, there is no wind at the moment. But maybe by the water, there's the morning onshore breeze. Anyway, yeah, Ron, I think D-Star stands for the Death Star. Anyway, finally on the FDR and coming up on the bump at 96th Street. And let me give it to Nath.
Okay, very good, and I'm way ahead of you. I'm on the FDR, and I goofed. I forgot that the ramp to the Brooklyn Bridge, I think, is closed. I'm on my way to southern Brooklyn, so I need gotta use the Brooklyn Bridge with, I don't know, tunnel up or get off and after the bridge and hook back. Have such a smooth morning this morning. They was all scared about using the bridge this morning, but they said that the upper level was clear, and it was. Have a good trip so far. So, Peter, you should have no problems. You should be at your workplace very shortly. Ron, pick it up.
Very good. I don't see any wind at all, so how? You got no problem with the wind. Maybe 5 miles per hour. Otherwise, it sounded like a breath of air. So, very good there. And, gonna be a few hot days coming, so, try to keep cool, gentlemen. And, let's see. Yep, solar activity is, sun is throwing out those corona mess, injections or shooting out to the universe there. So, interesting stuff. Okay, Hal, over to you. W2TAP in the books. And the group, I need some more coffee.
W2TAP K60DC. Okay, the only reason why I wanted to know the winds is that I know what the active runway is. Depending on where the wind is coming from, then which of the four positions you can take off at Republic. I'll find out. I get the H's on the way down. They'll give me all the good news. Altimeter setting and the whole nine yards. If I can get away today, that's what I'd like to do. Get above it all. Nath, pick it up. I'm just pulling into my spot here. This is Keep 6. Don't pick zero.
Very good, Hal. I don't think you'll have to worry about de-icing your plane today. Nav?
Yeah, that was amazing. They talk about the, get you all scared over nothing. You know, they talk about how the bridge is going to be Armageddon, GW Bridge, because they closed one lane for construction on a lower level. I don't know, it's going to be closed for a while now. I think everybody was scared and took alternate routes, and the upper level was clear. They said the lower level was heavy traffic, but it was moving. So hopefully it stays like this. They finish. Ron?
Very good on that. And, yeah, good point there, Pete. Al, you don't have to de-ice the plane. Just put that de-solar in. See what kind of more neutrinos you could get as you get further up in the atmosphere. Very good. Yeah, it'd be nice cruising around Manhattan there and, you know. There we go. Land in Connecticut, have some lunch, and come back. Very good. Okay, so Hal, over to you.
Hey, very good. K6DPZ. No, I don't think I have to worry about de-sizing today. The only thing I may worry about if I was taking three people on the 152 and I was fully loaded with gas, Then I'll be a little concerned about getting off in this temperature. Gentlemen, I got to run, and I'm not going to load three people in the 152 or turn around and take off on a hot day with open tanks. That's for sure. I'll talk to you later. Have a good day. Keep six dark purple zombies.
Very good, Hal. Nice aircraft. You might want to put some sunblock on the upper part of the wing. That'll help you with a little extra lift. And let me give it to Nav.
You in there?
73 to Hal and maybe Ron.
Yep, felt like a little pain in Soleil to stop that sunburn on those wings. 73 Hal, and probably Nav got a phone call. And this is IPS right now, MacArthur Airport here. There is a single engine plane taking off. Al, that's quick. How fast you got that thing up? Right overhead right now. Okay. Pete, over to you.
Figure if you put arc on the top of the wing, you know, it absorbs some of the energy, heat up the upper part of the wing, make it a little bit lighter, and help the lift. What do you think, Ron?
Yeah, it works for me. Absolutely. So that carbon fiber paint on there. But yeah, that sounds like a plan. And yep. I think it's not even like 1 mile per hour. I don't even see a tree even twitch in the wind here. It's just quiet as anything. Very good. So I'm almost at the bunk with myself again. So I'll be one more round there, and I'll throw it back to you, Pete.
Yeah, I'm at my garage, so I'll say 73. Good day, good flying, and hopefully catch you in the morning. KC2, KKX, clear. Thank you.